Blog Talk Radio.
With me tonight is the beloved Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you. Hello. Hello, everyone. That was amazing. It took you down a lot of different ways, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at first it was just kind of fun, and then it got sort of to, like, the heart of things where, yeah, the whole freedom thing and,
yeah,
you know, going naturally and...
Yeah,
it was good. It was really good.
Yeah. The song has been quote unquote haunting me since yesterday, in one of those magical ways where,
mm-hmm.
it was in my head yesterday. I finally figured out, you know, the song and you know, who it was, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And I must have played it 40 times yesterday, cried my eyes out. I can't. There are certain songs.
Mm.
It doesn't matter when I hear them or who mm-hmm. I'm with. They just touch a chord within me, and that happens to be one of the songs. And you know, I do find it interesting that you know, the lyrics are really saying, you know, if it's peace you find in dying, then let the time be near. And you know, we know, and what I'd like to share is that dying is a perspective.
Yeah.
But dying does not have to necessarily be the perspective of death, I mean the physical death, in order to experience the death, you know, the shamanic death, or the mm-hmm. death of a belief system, the death of a story that we've been telling ourselves. These are all literally deaths that will be, you know, felt in the same way, in the sense of when the death of a belief happens, it'll affect your body. I mean, your body can absolutely shift. You could go into like flu-like symptoms just from shifting beliefs and the dying of one belief. And then, of course, as we know in shamanism and anything, you know, mystical, death inherently must be with birth. It's, the cycle is never ending. It is the infinite cycle that when something dies, it's only to be reborn anew. And so the body is reborn anew, and it can go through experiences. And I believe that the reason why I'm so attracted to the song right now is because I'm going through a shamanic death. I'm not quite sure what it is. I know my body is going through temperature changes, nausea, emotional depth, where I really spent a good portion of yesterday just crying my little eyes out and you know, really allowing it. And it's interesting because the crying was definitely, there was a sadness, but it was coupled with a wisdom from my own soul, but that it was really cleansing, you know, not to stop myself. You know, I was crying in front of Scott, and I usually cry privately. I'm not one to cry in front of people. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, just listening to the song again, you know, I it would be very easy for me to break out in tears right now. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. And, you know, I just, it's one of those things where, and I believe everybody has it. Simon, I believe you have it with your photographs, in the sense where nature just kind of shows up, whether it's a song in your head or a space that you should be in, a feeling you get, maybe you find a poem that you've written. Like, Janine, you've talked about how you visited poems, that can rekindle an experience. And, you know, I personally say, you know, we should, if you're taken there, go there. Don't resist it. Don't, you know, how many of us say, okay, yeah, not now, though. Listen, right now I got this. I got the kids. I got this. I got this. You know, and to be honest, you know, yesterday was Easter, and me and Scott had plans to go to Scott's cousin's house, and it was 20 minutes before we were supposed to leave. Neither one of us had showered, and I just looked at him and went, we're not going to your cousins, are we? He goes, no. I went, all right. And I literally felt in my head it was in divine order, because I had already, the song was already in my head, and then I was like, okay, I need to get online. I need to find it. And then proceeded to have like a, you know, 2 to 3 hour experience of literally listening to the song over and over, bawling, just bawling, you know, and allowing it. And, you know, when I read the words, like you said, I mean, the words are really profound, because, you know, we're in 2012, we're in April of 2012, you know, the drum below, the the Drumvelo video I just posted recently, he kind of speaks in my, you know, he speaks for the Aborigines, or at least the Native Americans. Actually, no, he's pretty global. And he's working, I think, at maybe with the Mayans. Well, I don't want to speak. He's working with Aborigines. And, you know, he's basically saying that, you know, there's going to be challenges. The solar flares are going to start, and there's going to be other challenges. And, you know, I believe the song is coming to me, you know, as an energetic cleanse, because when you listen to the words, which I will gladly read to you, it really does. You know, I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care. If it's peace you find in dying, well, then let the time be near. And when I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born in this world to carry on. Now, troubles are many. They're as deep as a well. I can swear there ain't no heaven, but I pray there ain't no hell. But I'll never know by living. Only my dying will tell. Yes, only my dying will tell. Give me my freedom for as long as I be. All I'm asking of living is to have no chains on me. All I ask of dying is to go naturally. You know, here I go. Here comes the devil right behind. Look out, children. Here he comes. Don't want to go by the devil. Don't want to go by demon. Don't want to go by Satan. Don't want to die uneasy. Just let me go naturally. I mean, I'm telling you, this song doesn't fit where I am right now. I mean, but the truth is, of course, it does. It does, and I think it's a template for many of us that are consciously working the integration and the energy of the times we're living in. You know, I mean, I believe that with all my heart. I really do. And that's why I think the song, you know, it didn't just pop into my head. It was haunting me. The song was haunting me yesterday. And the reason why I want to say haunting, because it almost seems like my soul was going, find the song, Goldie. Don't just, because I was singing what I thought were the words in my head, and I'm going, oh, you know, I'm botching this. You know, I know the tune, but I'm not singing this right. And it was, you know, find the words, be with it, let it affect you, let it trigger you. Trigger. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, trigger the crying, because today I'm releasing a lot. I'm excreting a lot. I was nauseous as hell right before the show went on, and then had a wonderful excretion in the bathroom. And voila, I feel definitely, you know, it's funny, at the 11th hour, you know, literally like 10 minutes before the show started, I was going to go, all right, maybe I'll get on and go, hey, guys, you know, I'm dying. I don't feel good. I'm not going to do the show. And 10 minutes before showtime, my body kicked in. I was able to release it completely. And, you know, I don't want to say I feel great, because, to be honest, I'm shaking. Mm-hmm. I feel, I can tell my frequency is, it's a little rattled. But of course, you know, the shamanic death is not something you can kind of go, hey, you know, all righty then, we're done. And, you know, I can do the show, but I'm definitely, but I'm affected by it. But I want to do this. I want to show people, okay, listen, this is nothing to run to the doctor about, first of all. God knows, this is not, you know, this is being grown up and mature about understanding that there's darkness that's integrating in my experiences and in my life. Stuff that I'm conscious of, and God knows plenty of stuff I'm not conscious of, but I'm still fully aware that it's mine. I'm taking full responsibility for it. And, you know, I'm allowing it to, you know, like all, I'm allowing it to come home. Mm. Come on home, because when it is integrated, I'll have my sea legs on, which will be, you know, quite helpful when the proverbial ship The it's the fan.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think you know, there are times. Remember, I've said to you when we've talked, you know, and just on the phone as friends, and I've referred to, and it's nothing, you know, it just comes out of my mouth, but I've said, oh, Goldie, in the last, like, you know, 15 years, I've died so many times. And, you know, I think that when sometimes people say to me, well, what do you think, you know, doing therapy is about? And I often think it's about freedom. So it really struck me when that it got to the part of the song where, because I don't remember those lyrics at all. Like, I remember the song, but it's a long time ago. And,
yeah,
you know, it has this kind of, you know, kind of circus quality, or even like rodeo or country. And then, but the words then drop into these, yeah, very touching, you know, deep places. And I didn't remember the words. And so, you know, I felt it too. It was very, wow, dropping the chains and freedom, and, you know, it's like the courage to kind of face the ultimate issues that I think get in all our ways of really knowing freedom, or living in the moment, or being present. And, you know, that's the willingness to just address that subject. And like you and I had talked about, you know, if you can't look at the death card on the table, then you really are avoiding such an issue of our own transformation. And once again, knowing, not knowing because I've experienced it to come back and tell everybody, but knowing that our perception, or most people's perceptions of what death is just really inaccurate. You know,
yeah.
I can't, you know, that's what I do know. And I, you know, until you said it now, about the shamanic death for you, and I was thinking, yeah, and not that you need to know, but you don't need to know. You just move through a process, and you come out the other side whenever that is. But it is a form of death, and then it's a form of birth,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I remember that, and I remember feeling those places, and they can just come out of nowhere, and you know, I think it's a really amazing place, and I think it's one of the reasons today when you were telling me about, because you never used the word for yourself, shamanic death, until I just heard you say it, and
mm-hmm.
now it's making
mm-hmm.
sense to me as to, you know, in this day and age, for people like in Connecticut and New Jersey, you know, to go, excuse me, but I'm really can't connect with you right now. I'm kind of in a shamanic death thing. You know, it's not really very conducive to our quote culture. And I was just thinking that, so you have to find your own way of doing that, which is, you know, to first of all acknowledge that, hey,
I'm in this place.
And when you were telling me about today with the person who you kind of like almost noticed, I don't want to have eye contact, and I don't want, and I was like going, well, there it is, you know, it's this space you can't really explain, because in this culture, that's not really like, don't worry, like, mommy, I don't want to go to school today, I'm having a shamanic death.
Right.
You know,
right.
We
right.
were never allowed to touch that part of ourselves, which is natural, you
mm-hmm.
know, and so everything to me at this, you know, when you're talking, it's like the misperception of so many things has,
yeah.
you know, and so to start to, I mean, and I know you have been over the years, and so have I, but it's just kind of amazing that a song, and this is a beautiful process, that a song could kind of call to you, and then you let it, and you find it, and it gives you almost like the key to the code of where you're at and what you needed. And I think that's so cool, because that happens a lot and we don't even realize it. Like Simon's photograph. Like I'll watch a film I'll watch a film because the film has a tone and a feeling, but also the soundtrack does something for me. Like, I don't necessarily go, oh, I need to really follow the story. It's more this, like, the tone of the film or the feeling that I get from the film and the soundtrack that comes off of the film. And, you know, or I'll find myself watching a movie, like you listen to that song 40 times. I could watch a movie, you know, and I don't know that I share this with a lot of people, but I'll be like back to back 3 or 4 times because it's giving me something. There's something, you know, and I, whatever that is, so it's very, it's like this, like you said earlier, the subtle, but you tap in and you just follow something, you know, and you're moving through a process, and it's not even like, and I know you don't think you do, but the beauty is you don't have to figure it out. You know, you're just moving in it. It's a very organic thing. Mm-hmm. That is like, you know, for me, I'm going, oh my God, this is the realm that I am drawn to, this realm where you're called to something and there's the subtleties and, you know, that they're the keys to the knowing, and you know, it's so to me that's where the mystical, the magical, but it's probably so natural for us, and yet you and I and a lot of people have had to find this on our own because this hasn't been given to us in our culture, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and George says it though. You know, the truth is, it seems that when you're ready to graduate from a dualistic experience, which isn't just, and I mean an overall graduation, the truth is you have to find it on your own. That's part of the graduating.
Almost like
because
the treasure
if you're not
hunt.
Ready to graduate, the culture supports those that are not ready to graduate.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it makes sense.
It is. It's kind of like your own little treasure hunt, you know? It's
exactly.
Like you're off and running. Go find all the things you need to find.
That's why there's no need to be so upset, you know, that if the rest of the planet, so to speak, is still off in the duality. So they're not ready to graduate. That certainly doesn't put a hamper or a damper on our hamper. Yes, throw your dirty socks in.
Hamper and damper.
it doesn't put a damper on if you choose to do it, whoever you is. I mean, for me, I definitely love that I have a circle of friends that just understand the language. I mean, Janine, your ability to translate what I say is, I'm just forever in awe when I listen to you going, yeah, what she said. You're as good as when Sally had that orgasm when Harry met Sally.
I want what she's having. No, but here's a very cool thing, you know, that once again, I always love telling you when something happens that is just happening in the moment, and as it should. But you know, when we were before we went on the radio, and you know, we were talking earlier, but then even prior to the radio, you know, it wasn't that I was all over the place, but I really I didn't need to know where we'd be or where we were going or whatever. But that music really did once again bring me to like this sober, distilled, grounded, kind of, I know where I am, you know, and that's pretty amazing because, I don't know, I feel different. I feel different now than I did before we started the show. And
Right on.
And so that's just.
That's mystical. Yeah, it's magical and mystical.
Yeah, and it's right time, right place, and it's, you know, it's just perfect, really. And one of the words that keeps coming up for me, and it's not a new word, but it's paradigm. And I guess I'm noticing in my own subtle way that with all these shamanic deaths and moving through processes and, you know, you literally are, for myself, it's like new paradigms, you know, and
definitely.
And yeah, and you know, it's funny because when I say things, I'm going, well, what do I even mean by that? You know, but I maybe the, you know, I say it and there's a sensory feeling that comes with it, and it's almost like later it will make more sense to me. You know,
almost like you can describe. And I get this from when we have our conversations, and it's actually the part of life that I'm fascinated with. You help describe literally the subtle processing that's happening. And I think the part that we can't define is how it's going to look. You know, how is it going to manifest these subtle processes? You know, we're having these shamanic deaths. We're shifting paradigms. Timelines are some are evolving and some are literally disintegrating. So that's kind of like, you know, it's the director's chair. You help me understand the director's point of view, but it still doesn't mean we know how, well, with all that happening, that still could be a movie of any kind. The movie, filling in the spots of the movie is the individual's creative space. But when you understand the behind the scenes, well, now you start understanding, okay, the laws of physics can be bent or broke. You know, you start understanding the tools that you have to play with. You know, in the new paradigm, the virtues have a lot more power than they used to have, you know, energy and intention from, you know, the space of strength and perseverance and trust. These became like the backers of the movie, because if you're out of integrity, they can pull your plot. You know, they can pull the movie. Or your movie's not going to get made. It's out of integrity because there's no energy behind. If integrity's not in it, there's no energy. And that's no longer, you know, a wishful thinking, because, you know, we were talking about this the other day. The truth is, crime paid. People used to say crime doesn't pay. That's bullshit. Crime definitely paid. It did. I know. I was a criminal. And I did very well as a criminal. But that doesn't work now, because the divine feminine is coming in, because the end of the cycle is here. And this is just, again, just part of knowing that, okay, so the backers have changed. The backers used to be the mafia. Now the backers are the divine feminine. And the divine feminine works from a very different space. So I don't know, quote unquote, I can't tell you exactly how that'll manifest in my life, your life, or the listener's life. But boy, it's good to know that, you know, integrity and trust play a part, because then I can put my energy towards those backers, because I want to get the energy back out towards my movie. If I'm still putting my energy towards the criminal activity, it's just not going to produce anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was following you, and this is probably what you were talking about when you and you're going to go, duh. But
no, I would never say that.
No. But
if I'm not phrasing it, you phrase it. I never know what I'm saying.
No. But when you said what I do for you, and you know, my ability to explain, and it just dawned on me. I'm going, oh, I think that's empathy. And I do believe that's an empathic quality I've never verbalized to myself, that's an empathic quality, and that, you know, that
yes,
even
yes,
with your song, I picked up the empathic quality that the song was for you, but then it also gave me something, you know, and I do think, and it's funny because I was listening, you had posted that great Eckhart Tolle 13-minute the question and answer thing that he'd done with the man about anger, but then after that, which was really great in terms of explaining in 13 minutes how just awareness is key, and there's no forcing, it's a noticing. And I mean, if you know, that is like, oh yeah, that's fantastic, and it applies to even your process of just noticing and your awareness. But I went further and listened to him talking to Ken Richardson, and who I happen to absolutely love because this guy is such a proponent of creativity and imagination. He's a British man, but he was talking, and it just, you know, it's everything. It was probably maybe 20 minutes before the show, I was listening as if it was almost like the song you looked for, but there was something I was looking for. And Ken Richardson talked about empathy and how there couldn't possibly be wars if anyone who was fighting the other person could ever tap into the empathy that all that everybody was feeling in war.
Absolutely.
And so it just, you know, you know, I'm going, yeah, what is that? Why can't I explain that? You know, what am I? I'm feeling. It's like I'm going with Goldie, and I can explain it. And then I'm going, oh, I think that's empathy. That's an empathic connection. You know,
I think you're right on the money.
Which is a natural thing for all of us. But
right.
I do think that, and it exists, but I do think that there's a certain, you know, quieting and refinement that occurs when, you know, I don't know whether it's, you know, my love affair with nature certainly plays a part. And you know, maybe some genetics, you know, like some DNA strands are just sort of, you know, empathic openings. But yeah, it's a very cool thing for me to be on the radio live with you and literally be discovering things as we're talking, because that's the way it works, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's
mm-hmm.
why I love that our conversation feels literally alive, because it has life, it has a life force, because it's unfolding as we speak, and
right.
That's just so fun for me, and
we're growing things, you know, see, this is the movie, right? The movie's organic.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a virtual reality movie in that it's, you know, or a hologram. That would probably be we're on a holodeck, but it's not artificially created by a computer. It's being tapped into the ultimate intelligence, which is nature itself, the intelligence of this entire cosmos and universe. You know, and I get it, you know, people might call that God and all that. But first mm-hmm. of all, I mean, you know, most people right now, God is such a twisted term, you know, between religions and New Age. God just doesn't seem clear, not for me anyways. It's not
No, I think you're right, because you're absolutely right. In fact, I was driving in the car today and I'm going, oh, yeah. You know, one of the things I'm noticing about myself lately is a lot of words that applied in my life, or, you know, whether it's God, ego, conscious, you know, all the words describe the human being and describe the structure of what we're living in, and how do we explain it. All those words sort of becoming, quote, antiquated to me. They're literally no longer sort of applying to my way of seeing things or explain. Yeah,
right.
And so God fits in that too, because I don't know. It's just like, nah, you know, I don't want to explain.
God is a man-made construct.
It really is, and you'll always.
It is, and it goes with religion. It's bullshit to be one.
So once you, it's so true, because this is also, again, an awareness of a natural process of actually noticing that words that apply to a certain paradigm and structure just don't no longer work for me. I know them. I know what they were supposed to mean. I know they worked in the time that they were discovered in a way to explain things, but I'm finding that they no longer do the job for me. They no longer, I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's not accurate. Well, first of all, God is, in most paradigms, is considered masculine. And the divine feminine is what's kicking into all of us right now. So how could God portray it just based on the program of of what it is? God is masculine, and what's happening to us is feminine. And then you can say God is, but the truth is, that would eliminate the masculine. And see, the thing is, nothing's getting eliminated. This whole experience right now is radical integration. And integration is literally taking everything in. I mean, taking in the good, the bad, the ugly, the horrific, the ecstasy, all of it. Taking it in, and then, you know, literally, you know, it's going to kind of get spit out in a new birth. You know, in a brand new species called Homo Illuminis, or what, you know, the human being in the next level of consciousness. You know, well, hot diggity dog.
Yeah, and that's going to have another language to apply to the Homo Illuminis, and it won't be including ego, super ego, you know,
exactly.
Unconscious. Stuff. That is like
exactly.
That's the old paradigm language that
of separation.
You know,
the language of separation.
And,
that's why it's
right.
Inapplicable. Right.
And a masculine energy, and, you know, and I'm like.
Exactly. Freud.
Yeah,
for God's sake, the man was all about the penis.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he was just wrapped up in a lot of stuff. But, yeah, so. So, you know, this is so much fun because, and even when you said your condition, your physical condition, I was like, boy, these are the times when sometimes we get to go to really good places, you know, because
right on.
You're kind of like, not that you're ever guarded, because that is not how I would ever describe you, but...
What did you say? Not that I'm what?
You're ever guarded. You're not guarded. You don't.
Not that you farted. It's like, okay, right on.
No,
guarded,
I know
right
that
on.
Sometimes when we're in these sort of places of, you know... they're kind of
transition.
Vulnerable.
It's a transition.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's one of my favorite, like, ooh, that's a good place, you know?
Yeah. But it is the unknown. I mean, it's like being unplugged from it. Because, you know, there's a point where the death is fully in flow, and the rebirth, you know it's coming simply because after you do enough of these shamanic deaths, they always come. So you know it's coming, but that doesn't mean it's arrived yet. So there's still a, you know, you're kind of, you're walking between worlds, literally.
Yeah.
You're walking between levels and dimensions and levels of consciousness and awareness. And
Yep, and that's just good to know. Honestly, that's all you
it
have
to do. It is
good
to know. I agree.
It's just good to know. And, you know, it's funny. Someone came in my house yesterday with a friend of mine, and they asked me, the real magic gown that I found when I was on a vision quest is in my living room as an art piece, and they asked me to explain, you know, what is this? So tell me about it. And I did. I told the story, you know, in about 10 minutes as best I could without rushing it. But the interesting thing was that I found the gown because I put myself in the position deliberately to be alone in the dark at night in the middle of nowhere in the desert mountains of Arizona. You know, this wasn't just like, okay, I'll sleep in my own room alone. No, this was like, you know, and I was trying to explain that it's in those places when, you know, you face fear and you face discomfort, that these are where the treasures are. And, and you know, and I could tell that I had touched a nerve, but I really, you know, once again, I mean, this is a story I tell quite often, but then when I listened to the Eckhart Tolle 13-minute thing, he pretty much said the same thing, that, you know, it's like, be grateful for, you know, or he was talking to this woman that had lost everything with Bernie Madoff, and he's like, oh, wasn't that nice of him? he took everything so you could discover, you know, what it was that was far beyond. It was so amazing to me that, once again, it was in that most difficult place that your authentic self just sort of shines through, you know? So it reminded me of this woman who yesterday was in my living room, kind of not really getting that. And
well, is she in the middle of it, though? I mean, is she in the middle of losing everything?
No.
Oh,
kind of coming
okay.
out the other side. So I kind of said to my friend, I emailed her the link to that not to the one that you sent, the 13-minute one. And I said, this is really helpful to be aware of when these uncomfortable feelings come up, whether they're anger or fear, you know, that you acknowledge that they're present and don't do anything else. But,
right,
you know,
right.
So I thought that was so helpful. And just another example of what, you know, you and me talk about a lot and, you know, listening to a song 40 times and crying. I just
yeah.
think that,
yeah.
you know, and it's funny that the name of the band is Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
I thought that yesterday.
I was like
oh,
yeah.
How apropos, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it really is kind of, the irony is when you have enough, quote unquote, dark nights of the soul,
mm-hmm.
I'm at the point where I've actually been at this point. I consciously look to create these dark nights. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I want to push the envelope of consciousness
mm-hmm.
and see what I can. It's not about what I can manifest, but you know, how much shit can I let go of
yeah.
to then get the magic underneath and. And I get it, that because the shit doesn't look like shit. The shit really looks like my safety net and my mm. life preserver and everything that I believe, you know, is gonna get me, you know, to Oz, to Emerald City, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I literally remember the when I was first awakening at 30. My very first statement to my first therapist was, I'm a really smart woman making really stupid choices, and I want to know why. Why? Why? And, you know, the journey has clearly led me down, you know, that I've been programmed, and I'm okay with that. Because
mm-hmm.
why am I okay with that? Because now, as a mature adult, I can reprogram me.
Yes.
You know, the programs that we get put in as children through parents, religion, education, philosophy, whatever, if there's anything in you that is, you know, that's running that you don't like, well, you can reprogram it. Now, is it easy? It's easy in the sense of you can become aware of it very easily. But it's going to take commitment and perseverance and a trust in yourself. Because you do, you know, because, you know, I'm realizing now truly the trust in ourselves is the belief that we can actually flip the belief. And when you get the trust, because your life starts flipping, I mean, when the beliefs start flipping, there's an alignment, there's a congruency
right.
between what you think, what you feel in your heart and believe, and what you
yes.
experience. And when all three of those are lined up, you know, that is heaven
yes.
on earth. That is heaven on earth. Yeah.
That's true.
You know,
that's the authentic
you know,
self. That's
yeah.
beyond, it's beyond the programming. And
mm-hmm. Well, if
know.
It's not beyond it, at least it's my programming, not you know, my mom's or not the rabbis when I was a kid, not my, you know, high school, you know, coach, whatever. It's
right,
my programming.
Right.
So,
right.
and, you know, when you really get that you can do this because you've done it, even just ever so slightly, you know, you really do, you know, you can grow Idaho potato balls and go,
yeah.
wow, my life is really, it's my call. What do I want to become in life? And it's funny because when you're, for me, anyways, you know, I've busted my hump getting to where I am, and I still have a ways to go, and I'm joyfully going there. But what's interesting is the journey starts out. You know, I wanted the American dream, and what's so funny is shifting the beliefs have shifted the destination too, and
yeah.
that's. In my humble opinion, one of the most miraculous parts of being in alignment with my soul is that I'm not chasing the proverbial get-rich scheme or the perfect, you know, boyfriend/husband, the big house. None of those things are important to me anymore. And yet I have a husband, you know, I'm taking care of a baby, you know, it's so funny how, but that's not, now the goal is singly focused on getting me and my soul to be in 100% every single moment communication with each other. I am in full response to what my soul, which way my soul wants me to go, including when my soul tells me, see that fire over there? Jump in it.
Right
in it. It's like, no. Yeah, that's where we want you to go. Go there. Come on, that's where you're going. Well, and you know, there's something incredibly invigorating because your soul will show you how to bend the laws of physics. Our souls will show us so much and there's this invigorating. Because see, I have a part of me that it's interesting. As a young person, I had a part of me that was very rebellious. I liked being defiant for defiant purposes, just to be defiant. I liked. and I was very good at being defiant and not getting caught. But what's so interesting is I see that the act of defiance is really, it's a courage,
yeah,
to test the boundaries of belief systems that have. It's not just about being defiant to, you know, the legal system or maybe the religious beliefs. I'm talking about defying the laws of, not the laws of, the laws of physics as they have been taught to me. And, you know, for me, because I've always been science bent, my ascension, quote unquote, I was always attracted to the channelers who did it through science. I'm not a big fan of, personally, this is just my gig, angels and stuff like that. It was always a religious bent, and it just didn't do it for me. I wasn't interested in hanging out with Archangel Michael. You know, shit, just give me a man with a sword. I'm cool with that. No, he's not going to be an archangel. So science has always been... has always been my journey, and I'm really realizing now, as my defiance in science happens, how much science is a religion,
mm-hmm.
and how it is really a very stagnant, antiquated, outdated mode of being that is,
yeah,
absolutely put into place for the exact same reasons Catholicism, Judaism, Hinduism, Muslim, you know, as well as the medical profession telling us, you know, we all need to take these, you know, prescription drugs, you know, that, and they're so clearly stating, you know, will cause anal bleeding and, you know, and abdomen, you know, abdomen stress. I mean, it's like they're not even afraid to say what the side effects are, which, I mean, it's so funny. In my humble opinion, going, well, that's ballsy, man. I wish I could say, hey, everybody, I got something for you. You know, but in the meantime, it'll make you sicker than you were, and you'll pay me for even more stuff. You know, it's like people are just asleep, and I find it rather humorous. But the truth is, science has been telling us the same things with the black holes and the Big Bang and with how atoms work. And you know, it's like, you know, I've been thinking a lot yesterday. Another thing that came up from this whole death experience was Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men, when he literally screams, "You can't handle the truth." Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, can I? Can I handle the truth? Because it's gonna test all of us. And I say to myself, yes, I can handle the truth. But shit, I know the truth is gonna flatten me out. And I'm, you know, I hope I have the courage based on these little steps that I've been doing for the last 17 years of the courage to break through the law. The courage to break through science, the courage to break through medicine. I have made a humble practice in my life to break barriers that I've been taught cannot be broken. So if I've ever felt prepared, I feel prepared. But that's still, I still know, I know that feeling when the belief is staring you in the face, and, you know, literally, you kind of go, all right, push me into the fire, because I just can't make the step. But I trust, you know, my soul, somebody, push me off the cliff, push me in the fire, because once I get in it, then I'm like, you know, the epiphany and the aha and the magic of the alchemy happens.
So. Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because the program, you know, and whether it's, you know, well, we created it, so, you know, but the program, I was thinking about the two books that I wrote, and I was going, you know, there is a central theme, besides the fact that that there's my love of nature's in there and, you know, that lesson, but the main theme that runs through both books is the overcoming of self-doubt, and it really is, and it really is a turning point in both of my books. And, you know, yes, there are moments. You know, do we revisit those at different levels? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do think that as you were explaining, even your hesitancy about you can't handle the truth. That's even a. To me, that's a statement of self-doubt because
absolutely,
I think truth actually is so much more wonderful. So even the fact that we think we should be afraid of the truth is an absolute program that is getting in our way. And, you know, because I don't think the whole setup is just to go, the truth is too scary. I think the truth is amazing. So, you know.
Did I give the impression I didn't think it was amazing?
No, but. The example of, you know, Jack going, you can't handle the truth. Well, you and me, I know we both are doing this, and this is the process that is to invite the truth in, and it's almost like a fun dare. You know, it's like that. It's like that kid that, you know, goes, tell me a scary story. No, tell me. Yes, tell me. You know, because really, ultimately, you know, it's like, come on, bring it on. You know,
so
I have that too, and you know, conforming wasn't really one of my favorite things either. So that works for you later on because, you know,
ironic, huh?
Yeah. So, but the invitation, like I've been talking to you about this like 3 weeks ago, or was it 2 weeks ago, that I invited in the idea that I was infinite. I am, you know, and that then you invite in these, and they actually, I almost think by inviting them in, and whether they're already in you, and, you know, that's kind of the irony of it all, like, wait, what are you inviting in? It's already in you. But in some way...
Well, an awareness of it. It's an awareness.
Right.
Yeah.
It's right. So, you know, I always think it's fun, and this is the part of the playing quality to this whole, you know, evolution and ascension is that we're here, so you might as well really have fun with it. So I invite in... these, but invite the truth in. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, it's the most kind of amazing thing you can do. And
totally.
Right? And so,
totally.
So, and it is a bold move. It is bold to
it
invite
bold,
the truth in.
Right on.
But why not? I mean, you know.
Well, we live in bold times. Jesus, we're in 2012. Has there ever been a more bold year than, I mean, maybe 2000 with the Y2K,
right.
But the truth is you're in alignment to be bold right now. I mean,
come on. Right, and so, yeah, and so I think that, you know, I'm always a little bit of a darer where, you know, it's like, come on, let's put all the cards on the table. I don't want to hide any under the couch. I want, you know,
right.
That's
right.
Not going to do anybody any good. Let's, you know, so.
Well, you don't
so,
need to cheat to win. That's what that tells me.
No. Remember my character.
Yeah, I know. I may be a thief, but I ain't no cheat.
Right. And he goes, I'm more clever than courageous. What are you talking about? And they're like, no, you're courageous. You know, so, but you know, it, so yeah, so I just think that, you know, these are amazing times. Not that they haven't been before, but it seems like, okay, we're, you know, we have a lot going for us right now in terms of support. And
And
you know, I look back and think, oh, I could have been this, and I should have been this, and my book could have sold this, and, you know, and then this. And then I think, and I look back now and I go, man, I am so happy none of that happened.
Thank you
for taking care of me. Because
exactly.
I really like this different way. I just do. And, you know, it's different than the mass way, or the what, you know, how it's supposed to be out there in society.
It is the graduation. The graduation way is not, you're not going to go with the masses. It is,
right.
And there's a but, and it's a big but. It's a J-Lo but.
It's a fantastic but.
And the but is that you're going to find other sovereign beings that are doing it along the way, who actually support you simply by listening to you, simply by energetically going, oh, yeah, I totally understand that. Hey, check out this story, because this is how I experienced it.
Yeah.
And there is a deep, deep empathic connection between the sovereign beings going through this. I know, because I would say 99% of the listeners on our show are these beings. And they're coming more and more. And there's this, because, you know, I honor that you do it playfully, because, Janine, you are by far one of the most playful sovereign people I've ever met. Truly, you really are. But see, for me and, like, Simon, and I'm going to speak for you, Simon, you type this if I'm wrong. Me and Simon are warriors. We like the war. I mean, on some level, you know, because we're Klingon, so to speak.
Hey,
you know,
I like you too.
No, I know, but it's like you write, you know, you do it playfully. So, but see, the beauty is to understand it's a flavor. So what flavor? Some people want to do it through the fairies. Some people want to do it through gladiators, you know, because once you recognize that there is no death, you know, like, I don't know, for me, you know, I'm just like supernovas, you know, I'm looking now to, you know, to be the... What are those even, they're bigger than supernovas, where they're, you know,
not
there's
quasars, right? No.
Quasars, right on, perfect.
Oh, okay.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
A quasar, which is even more powerful than a supernova. You know, it's like, we're talking, you know, some real galactic, powerful energy. You know, I love staring that kind of energy straight in the face and, you know, and knowing that, okay, listen, you better have all your nervous system better be all opened up, and, you know, you better be flowing on all your cylinders if you want to be in the presence of a quasar. You know, and it's like, okay, well, and if I'm not, well, then what's my boot camp? What do I got to do to get there? Oh, okay, what I got to do is I got to integrate, you know, all my shadow pieces. And you know, all the stuff that most people won't even begin to look at, let alone talk about live on the radio. I mean, it's just unheard of for most people. And for me, I'm like, not only is it my boot camp, which it serves to accelerate my ability to take in this energy, it then becomes my purpose, because A, I'm attracting the other sovereign beings who are going through however their boot camp looks, and I'm also just letting people know they're not alone. You know, and it's like, it's that divine intelligence again. It's literally the intelligence of nature and being in flow with it, and it's so interesting how most of the people who aren't choosing to graduate look at nature as something they have separated themselves from nature because nature is below them. You know, there's this egoic way that, you know, to say that, you know, our DNA and a chimpanzee's DNA is 97%, you know, the same, they find insulting.
Mm-hmm.
Where when you're ready to graduate, all of life in the DNA is 100% the same as me. You know,
yeah.
And it's not insulting, it's enlightening to become everything, including the toxins, including the poisons, including the murderers and the rapists, and you become everything. You know, you don't just, you know, part of that graduation, on the way to graduation, first you play the bad part, then you play the good part, and it could flip it. You could play the good first and then the bad second. It doesn't really matter. And then graduation is when you integrate both parts. And then the actual graduation is the birthing of all of those experiences into an alchemized being. You know, damn, aren't, you know, bless me, man. And bless the times we live in, because the cycle is ending. And in that ending of the cycle, just because nature has set it up this way, for those who are ready, graduation is abound. You know, it's here. It's here for the taking, or it's here for the experiencing, you know. And nobody can tell you if you want it, you know, you got to do the work to graduate. And if you don't want it, that's okay. Another cycle will come around again, because in the intelligence of nature, nobody will get left behind. But that also means that you don't have to do it all at the same time. That's not what this is about. This is about personal choice and what your soul wants you to do.
Yep.
You know, and the personality, well, the personality has just got to shut up and follow.
Did Simon respond at all? I was looking at the chat room, because when you start talking, I like to move away, and I'm like just listening to you.
No, Moonicorn responded, yeah, and then they have to eat Easter dinner with all your relatives the next day. Talk about a come down. Yeah, right on, Moonicorn. That's why it was so funny when Scott said that we weren't going to his cousin's house. You know, I immediately went, yes! I can cleanse, you know, I can go through this death, because I get it. You know, I know that whole responsibility thing, and, you know, and I also know, I love it that, you know, me and my man clearly know if we're not into it, you know. How did Scott put it? Scott called us the, because I said, what if your relatives don't invite us anymore? And he goes, we're already on shaky, you know, he goes, they kind of know, we don't show about 75% of the time, if not more.
Right.
And they keep inviting us, you know, and they love us. But, you know, I love a family that, you know, whoever it's got to be, and Moonicorn, I would invite you to see that you could be the person that starts the new tradition of taking care of self. Right?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to take care of ourselves, and, you know, today might be the registered day of this holiday. But taking care of me means, you know, I'm just going to stay in bed and cry for, you know, 3.5 hours while I play a single song 40 times. That's what my soul wants. And so, okay, let's rock it. Let's do it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing. And I love, see, for me, and I'm the same way, that, first of all, I like to keep... I don't like to fill days. I like to keep them as open as possible. You know,
yeah,
yes, right. I it's just something that's important for me when I can do that. And so, yeah, I've moved out of that place too, where, you know, the obligation, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't. I just don't. Yeah.
Well, and, I don't think obligation and graduation. No. Truth be told, if you choose to graduate,
like,
it's one of those words, like we were saying, that doesn't fit the new paradigm.
No. Nope.
And there's no shame in it, but that doesn't mean you won't find resistance from friends and family, because, you know, the paradigm, the people who are in the paradigm where graduation is not apparent, you know, they'll let you know. They'll let you know that you're on this trip alone. But, you know, again, that is by design. You know, if you can't stand your own space, if you can't stand in not solitude, but in sovereignty, going, listen, it's my journey. You know, I have been written off by cousins. I mean, my cousins, not Scott's cousins.
Yeah.
I have been written off by family who, I mean, long ago was like, you're a whack job. It's like, well, all right, then don't call me anymore. Shit, when I was 13, my mom goes, there was this house I told you we used to go for Hanukkah. And the woman was really mean to me. And I went, Ma, I don't want to go. And she went, then don't. I went, well, right on. Now you know, it sucked, though, because they'd go over for Hanukkah. My brother would get gifts. My mom get gifts, you know. And I'd be sitting home by myself going, you know, damn, I'm all by myself. This sucks.
They'd be like, I know, I'll have a radio show.
Yeah. Well, at 13, I think I was really, what I was doing.
I could just see you in the making, that's all.
No, well, exactly. I mean, it's so you know, don't look to become the popular person when you're graduating, because that's not what graduation's about. Graduation is about really losing the mask, losing the illusions of that group consciousness is the only way to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, these are big paradigms, and when you let go of them. You know, because it's not just about letting go of the group. The group will, through guilt and shame and all sorts of lovely things, try to, you know, throw out the hook.
Definitely.
And try and get you back in. Yeah, cast the line out. And, you know, again, if you're really genuinely ready to graduate, you just continually go, I'm not playing your codependent games anymore, you know. And trust me, I have, it's funny because I've had relationships, you know, in my life where I've learned that, you know, my punishment for people who are just idiots, and I mean that with all the strength of what I'm saying, I'll literally be like in my head going, you know how I'll get them back? I'll pull my attention away from them. I won't let you have the insights of Golden Hawk anymore, because I know they're feeding off of it. And, you know, on this journey, you'll it's I don't want to say it's a long journey, but it's a journey of awareness. You know, I have addictions in relationships with people, and as I let go of them, you know, I let go of them. But until I let go of them, you know, I don't beat myself up for having them. I just keep myself aware, because I'm like, so I recognize at some point I'm going to have to let that go. And then, you know, there's a priority thing going on. You know, I'm usually dealing with some major fear and then a couple of minor fears.
Mm.
You know, and.
Yeah.
It works. It's divine.
Yeah, years ago, and, you know, it really was very liberating and used to be kind of shocking to people, but in a good way. And then I figure, well, you know, they're either going to be super triggered by it or they're going to go, oh, yeah. But I used to just say, you know, and, hey, listen, we're all addicts. And, you know, so it just picks
by
yourself.
Design.
And then it's, you know, becoming aware of the codependence of any kind and then just working with them and becoming more aware and then,
exactly.
You know, moving out of the programming of our own, and
yes.
Just, you know, which is, I guess, I have been in a lot of pain and over the years and really shamanically died many, many times. And that's kind of interesting that, you know, like my character, Mr. H. Murr, I have a very playful quality in the most difficult place, which is the great desert of uncertainty, you know, and there is something to that is part of me, you know,
right.
And
right.
Yeah. But, you know, there are times when, you know, I couldn't say, yeah, that was really funny, because it wasn't.
I like your honesty. Right on, babe.
I hear
you.
So, you know, it's, but then there's, through experience, I have to say that I look back and I'm in awe of how amazing it was and how perfect it was.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and yeah. And so, you know, I just didn't get how much of a shamanic death you were in until you just explained in bed crying, listening to the song 40 times. But I get that. You know, I understand. I mean, because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's funny because.
Did you know that was happening? I mean.
No. Well, you know. Okay, everybody, last week I told you, without using name, one of my girlfriends was pregnant.
Right.
And this weekend she lost the baby. She was about 9 weeks pregnant, so, you know, it just became like a heavy period. But the truth is, she's the one. It wasn't just a heavy period. It was a shamanic death. And we're actually taking the remains, and we're doing some spiritual blood ceremonies with the remains on Saturday. It was her that used to me. She was like, I've been through a shamanic death. And I mean, it's like, this is what I mean by the people in my circle.
Yeah,
when she said that, I was like, holy shit, that's what I'm going through. You
right.
know, and it's like, you know, it, because for me, as Janine knows, we don't have to know what's going on, you know. On some level, it's happening without the mind having a name, a definition for it. But for me, it helps me to know. I mean, for one thing, so I can talk about it on the air. You know, there are often times I can't put it to words, and there's also often times I'm putting it to words, and that only covers a very small, you know, that only scratches the surface. Because a shamanic death, what does that really mean? Well, that's a personal experience per everyone. You know, we can explain in depth to some level what's happening to us. It doesn't mean it's going to be how you experience it. You know, the listeners, it's so personal. The graduation is so personal. But we all kind of get a sense of a shamanic death is basically, you know, you're going to get your ass kicked for a few hours, you know, or a few days, or you're just going to get your ass kicked, but you don't look at it as, you don't put the usual egoic story of victim around it. You kind of have the maturity to say, this is the way, you know, you separate the wheat from the chaff, and this is what distills energetically and balances energetically our beings. So you don't resist it, you just allow it, and amazingly, you'll find your life will synchronize for your ability to go through these things. It just will, because, you know, the soul is such an influential, it's so funny, we always say our sponsor is Mother Earth, and of course my dad, you know, shout outs to Fred Pressman.
Thank you, Fred.
We love you, Dad. But Mother Earth is absolutely, you know, she is our sponsor and she's our support, but so is our soul. And it almost feels like the soul is the subset of Mother Nature, which is the subset of the infinity, you know, and these are the new definitional words and descriptive adjectives to describe the new being we're going to become, you know, and
yeah.
So, you know, it for me it helps to know, because Janine said to me something the other day, and I hold on to so many things that Janine says to me, and what you said to me the other day was, you know, you should never feel guilty about knowing what you know,
right?
And you know, because I do have an awareness right now. It's a deep awareness of the people who are not awake, the people who are not empathic, you know, the people who are still in a paradigm of blame and shame and don't see it. So, you know, they point the finger at everybody, and I just look at them now, and it's like, oh, look at that. You know, they don't even realize they're describing themselves. Because, oh, this, I got this clarity the other day that, you know, if within your story you're still pointing out other people's faults, what's so interesting is I realized that's because you still need another being to hold that energy for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at another human being, mm-hmm. and recognize them as a trigger, but what you're seeing in them is being triggered in you. That's why you can see it in them, because it's in you. Well, isn't that the unified being, the unified field? Because you wouldn't need anybody else to be in the world with you. I mean, they're triggering you, but ultimately the darkness or the negativity or the whatever you're seeing that you don't like, when you know it as self, that's the veil has diminished. There is no veil between you and the other, because you're now ready to own every part of you.
That's right.
Yeah, it was like, wow.
I was just talking to my friend today about that. Literally, that, yes, that's when someone's fixated on someone else and they're discussing that, you know, it's like, whoa, there's a projection going on there where, you know, if they could just work with that, see it, it would, the self-critic, you know, will be no longer necessary, because it won't exist, and you'll have integrated that part of yourself. And
exactly.
I was just thinking once again, you know, which is so perfect, that the shamanic death is concurrent with the birth, because, you know, you're letting, it feels as though you're letting something go, but you're actually integrating, and your authentic self to me is more just emerging as the more central energy that you're coming from, and
yes.
So once again, it's not the chicken or the egg, it's the chicken and the egg, or it's
yes.
not the death or the birth, it's the death and the birth, it's
right.
the black hole and the white hole. There is so it, you know, this is, you could just go on, and these are, and you know what, this is the new language. I mean, you're
yeah.
right, that's the new
yeah.
language.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what you said. That was really good. That was really good. But, you
it
know,
was really good.
It was. So, you know, trust infinite, the both end, it's not the end or. It's, you know, these are just the what you said before. I love the field you've talked about. Because within your field, this is what's in your field. I loved the way you said that.
Well, because people become part of the field when
yeah,
there's
no
separating,
exactly
that
right.
that they're a separate entity. See, separate
that's
entities
right.
look like people. But remove the separations, and it becomes a field of awareness.
Oh, that's very good, Goldie.
I love you, baby. Yes, you know, Janine paints a good picture, but boy, when you're getting empathic with her, and then you can paint a good, like, I can paint a good picture with words, because
you
I
are.
Work with an artist who can paint good
and
pictures.
And concept. And concept. No, really,
yeah.
this is really good. Really good
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Really
right
good
there.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with breaking patterns of loyalty to old, you know, belief systems and the tribe. You know,
yes.
I mean, and
yes.
this is, that's where the rebellious nature, the nonconformist, these are very important qualities to be able to break old paradigms, and you know, and this is, and you know, it's funny because it is both warrior work, but it's also, to me, I mean, when you're on a roll and like I'm taking in what you're saying, and it's like yeah, I mean, that is. It is fun.
No, it is fun. It is. I agree. But I think it's in the beginning. It won't
yeah.
seem fun because
no.
it's, you know.
Unless
you're born this way.
I do have a proposal that I could probably make it slightly fun for people.
Well, give the proposal. Share.
No, it's just that that is an area where I have the way of helping people in this very difficult place actually laugh or have the fun or see the
right,
fun.
Right.
Or it's just something where, I don't know, it's when you're at your lowest point that there's some way that there's an irony of life that you go, wow, this is kind of funny, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely.
I mean, it's kind of like, quote, you know, somebody must have said it, when I die, I will laugh in the face of death and I will go laughing. Or, you know, because there's something about the flipping when the heart just goes whatever and just starts it's like when the heavy heart goes light or something. I can't explain it, but it happens.
You just did.
Or, you know,
it reminds me of what I can picture right now in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
I'm 12 years old. I'm about 7 miles away from home. It's about 12:30 at night. I'm supposed to have a ride with somebody home. The ride bails on me. I've got three of my friends with me. I call my mom, and I'm like, I screwed up. I need a ride home. She was pissed, and she was like, start walking. And I was like, okay. So me and my three friends started walking, and I, if I'm correct, I don't think she took everybody home. She just took everybody here. And, you know, we were walking, and my friends were like, God, Goldie, you know, your ass is going to be kicked. And I was cracking up. And it's not that I was, to be quite honest, if you knew my mom, it wasn't that I was laughing like she wasn't going to do anything to me. I mean, my mom has been known to beat the living shit out of me, you know, in the sense of where most mothers, you know, tended to coddle their children. My mom would kick my ass. And it's funny because whenever she would beat me, it never hurt. It was really just her showing me, you know, you fucked up, basically.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you know I'm pissed. But her actual hitting me never hurt me. So this is not abusive. It was really about her sovereignty going, if you mess up, you got to pay for it. You play, you pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she always used to tell me, you know how you're going to learn? You know how you're going to learn how it hurts when you fall down? By me letting you fall down. That's how you're going to learn. And so there was a lot of things she never saved me at. I mean, there was a couple of things she did save me at. When I was a crackhead and I was smoking base cocaine, she did come in and save me from that one. You know, bless her heart, I was, you know, as close to the dark side as I've ever been on that stuff. But the other stuff, you know, she would let me make mistakes. And she used to say all the time to me, learn through experience. You learn
amazing.
Better than I can scream at you, but learn by falling down. You know, and she was always there to help me get up. But after she let me hit, she'd let me hit ground first. So, but the point was, I remember the first time I saw a dead body, which was my grandfather. It was an open casket, which was funny because Jews don't do open caskets, but it was. And when I looked at him in the coffin, I started laughing my ass off. And I was with my boyfriend at the time, and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, it was uncontrollable. I could not stop. And he goes, well, put your head in my chest because at least act like you're crying. I mean, like, you're cracking up that your dad's father's dead. And I didn't know what it was. I really didn't. And I can remember telling my friends, you know, when I'm in the heated kitchen, so to speak, of a daughter making with me and my mom, you know, that kind of authority, I just used to laugh. Like I remember one time hanging out of my front window. We had come back to my house to get alcohol and stuff, and the alarm on the house wasn't working right. It kept going off every time I went to open the door. So I was like, oh, okay, we don't have alarms on our windows. So, like, the alarm would go off. I'd give the number. You know, it's a code. And then we'd try to get out again, and I'd give the code. So I think, like, the third time, I was like, all right, listen, everybody outside, I'll give the code, and then I'll come out the window, and somebody can catch me. Well, of course, as I'm hanging out the window, the cops show up. And, you know, you just go, only Goldie. And it's like, I literally jumped down and I went, do I got a story for you? And I was like, listen, this is my house. And I go, I know that doesn't look like this is my house. But this is my house. And I said, and I immediately went into, and I can prove it because tell me what you want. I can tell you what's in drawers in my mom's room. I can tell you what's in drawers in my room. You know, it became clear. But then he saw, you know, there was like 7 kids, you know, I don't know if the alcohol, we were all shit-faced at that point. but I do believe that, yes, that there is a need for laughter, because I've never been the, you know, some people get in trouble and you can, they crumble with the wind. You know, it's like you can just tell they lose their momentum of strength. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to graduate, there is no losing momentum. There's only gaining momentum. And I say this in the meaning, let me rephrase that. There's no making mistakes. There's only gaining momentum. You can't make a mistake when you're graduating. When you're dealing with the darkness, that's part of the graduation. Where when you're still in the story, not looking to graduate, the goal is to never deal with the darkness, because that means you screwed up. But that's not the truth when you're ready to graduate. When you're ready to graduate, you have to deal with the darkness. I mean, that's the director's chair. You have to deal with it.
Your mom was right. Experience, it's through experience. I mean, you know.
Right on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's, I don't know, it is a graduation.
It's priceless.
Yeah.
You can't, and it's great because your soul is so involved. You don't even know it at the time until you know it. I mean, my soul set up amazing experiences for me. Amazing experiences. I know that now. I didn't know that at the time.
I know.
You know, but once you start becoming really, when you're on a first name basis with your soul.
I like that. That's really good.
Yeah, that's when you start really understanding the perspective you'll have. Like I said, the destination will change, and perspective almost on a daily basis will shift. It continually shifted, and it's not shifting from right and wrong. It's clearer and more clear and more clear. You know, it just, because you're not afraid to dance in the shadows. And once you're not afraid to dance in the shadows, unbelievable amounts of experience and wisdom is available to you.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. I love that. Another way of explaining, once you're on a first name basis with your soul, is you literally are in moment to moment communication with your soul.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You know, it's an experience rather. I mean, we can, you know, you can say it, but it's when you're experiencing it that
yes,
it takes on.
Yes.
You know, and
you know how
I
that
guess,
pisses me off.
And I, you know, that song when he said, "The chains fall off."
Yeah.
I think, you know, that to me is like, whoa, when you're in direct communication, moment to moment with the soul, the chains have fallen off.
That's exactly,
you know,
right. That's great.
Great.
Yeah.
Isn't that? Yeah.
That's brilliant.
And,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
It's amazing. I mean, it is. It's just freaking amazing. All of this is amazing. And I mean, and I love it because, you know, we're in April. What are we, April 9th? I mean,
yeah.
Okay, you know, without raising hands, you know, but okay, you can if you want at home. Everybody raise their hands if months are going by like days and hours. It's like we're in April 9th. I mean, me and Scott got married on New Year's Eve, so it's a wonderful thing because for me it was such a demarcation of a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, something really big for me as opposed to just another New Year's Eve where I was asleep by 10. And it's like, I mean, April 9th, you know, it's like, whoa, 4 months? Where did that, whoa, you know, like, I mean, that, the whole thing of time and the concept of time and the experience of time is, you know, because, I mean, shit, when you're conscious, I have been waiting for the year 2012, for like since 96
for millennia,
you know, of a lifetime. I have a feeling I've been waiting lifetimes for this.
That's what I'm saying.
Right on. I mean, and it's like we're actually in it. Every time I sign a check at 2012 or I date something, I'm just like, You know, there's just something so profound that, you know, remember that time I told you the last year of my mom's life, I really got, you know, be aware, be conscious of the mm-hmm. moments, be conscious mm-hmm. of what's going on. I'm getting that about this life. It's funny, right? I got that about my mother's death. It's like I'm getting that. It's my own life to be conscious of and to be aware of, because, you know, this is, you know, everybody, I was telling Janine, you guys all know that I got this wonderful job with a little baby named Aiden, and he's 5 months old. Actually, he might be 6 months now. and, you know, life is very unpredictable. His mom has a job, and, you know, it's funny because I used to get nanny gigs and with infants, and, you know, I would look at the nanny gig and go, okay, you know, I've got this gig for anywhere from 3 to 5 years. You know, that's just, that was the time frame until they basically go to some sort of school, depending on how many hours, and then off to, you know, regular school, and then, you know, I'll find another family. Well, now I'm like, all right, well, let's see if I can keep this job until May. You know, or maybe summer. Maybe I can keep it till summer. Because I really do recognize that everything that's happening, this is such a different year than any other year we've ever lived. So it affects time frame. And you know, because I'm on a first name basis with my soul, I really do understand that. And there's no fear around that. It's almost comical.
Right,
you know?
There you go. Well, see, you know
yeah, that's
how,
you giving that to me.
Well, you know how you'll hear people that have had near-death experiences say, you know, after that their whole perspective was different on life itself, on the quality of life, on the priorities, on, you know.
Yes.
And I think that's just another explanation for they had a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And I think that we're living in a paradigm shift because we are, some of us more than others, but really confronting that it's like a near-death experience without really having gone through one, but there's something supporting that perception or paradigm shift. If you're in touch with it, you know, and getting what I'm saying or what you're saying, and you it is a paradigm shift. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
So you're living in this place of a different kind of set of priorities. It's a different
way
of, you know, and so yeah, that's just my perception, and it's very interesting to myself that, you know, I once in a while think of this in a very sort of personal and. But when a year ago in December, when I was doing a book signing, and there was this woman who literally, you would never think she had a heart attack because she looked like she was in her mid-30s. But there was a woman, that literally dropped dead on the floor. That, you know, while we were there was Santa Claus and me with my books and, you know, all these children, and I had this completely out of nowhere, spontaneous connection with this woman to go resuscitate her. And, you know, she defied all medical anything that I would have ever known that this woman didn't
you,
die.
You breathe quite the magic energy.
Right. Well, I do have good lungs because I was a swimmer.
You got magic in you, girl.
I was a competitive swimmer, so I have really good lung capacity. So I do think that I delivered quite a bit of oxygen into her, but I also know that there was something more than that because
clearly,
every scientific thing that I know, she was far, far, far gone. And
and
she didn't. And so I look back at that at times just in my own quiet way and I go, that was something else. And, you know, it was as if it wasn't just her near-death experience, it was mine. And,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, and so without even knowing how much that affected me, it affected me. And, And so I most likely had a paradigm shift there.
Well, do you remember the mastermind before that about being in the right place at the right time? That was your intention the week before that happened?
Yes. I didn't realize that till on the phone with you guys that night when I told you what had happened.
Yeah.
Like two nights before. That
yeah.
You reminded me. You went, Janine, do you remember you had said my intention was to be in the right time at the right place? And I went, oh, yeah, no, but now I do, you know? And so, that's incredible. But
it is.
It's like soul to soul. It's not, you know, my soul's probably going, no, it's not incredible. It's how it is.
Well, right. It's what we're coming into that will
this
be very much
day,
as much
right?
as it'll be the everyday. Exactly.
So,
I mean,
you know,
yeah,
Goldie
right
plays
on,
the song 40 times and then you empathically get it and here you are and, you know, all the language is changing and you can't even talk like the way you used to. It's great.
So the next time you find somebody, you know, if you happen to have a friend or something there and they just seem to kind of be like babbling and not making much sense, you know, they're jittery and skitsy and can't get eye contact in you. You know, just for a moment, you know, maybe they're going through a shamanic death.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, just a little compassion and you know what, the truth is, though, our listeners have it. You know,
yeah.
It's just about remembering that, because most of all, it's going to be, you know, it's you guys that are going to be the schizos and, you know, not having the words and wanting to take time to be on your own. Oh, be so gentle with yourself, because really, it almost feels like, you know, it's the nutrition for the ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, for those who aren't going through the ascension, it looks like total chaos and, you know, just it's so easy to be, you know, mocked and you know, made fun of. But let the children, you know, if a child walked up to you, and I mean, I'm a nanny. I've had kids walk up to me and just act like they know it all. Boy, Alana's brother, when he was younger, oh, my God, what a beautiful little know-it-all. You know, and you don't get, I mean, at least I didn't. You don't get real triggered by a kid that goes, 2 + 2 = 5. It's like, yes, dear. Okay, wait till you hit first grade, and you'll recognize your what you're saying, and you'll recognize, you'll recreate that thought. You know, so when the people who aren't awakening and aren't graduating this lifetime, who cares what they say? Truly, it's just, you know, because they really don't see. They don't see the essence. They're still the actor in their movie. They're not the director, let alone the producer.
Mm-hmm.
And so look at it, you know, you can play, and you can respond to them, but just keep in mind that it's part of their play, really. Because that's what I think is starting to happen is, you know, I see it in the dialogue I have with, like, Facebook or even the dialogue I have with my own self is that, it's not that I'm leaving the play. This is kind of Eckhart Tolle stuff. I'm just witnessing myself in the play. And when you witness yourself in the play, the meaning is just, it really shifts to, you know, you're really not so hung up about the play.
Right.
It doesn't really matter what my journey and destination was when I was in the play. That, you know, I'm still in motion, so to speak. You know, we still do the show, and I still want to have a job, and I still want to pay my bills. But hell, who am I kidding? I was out of a job for 11 months. My father walked in today. He goes, you got rent? And I had paid him rent last week. I go, I paid you rent. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Blame the cat. Yeah, it's the cat's fault for screwing with my memory. I was cracking up, but, you know, it's like, I mean, it was just such a, if you knew the paradigm of how me and my dad have shifted, I mean, there was a day where, you know, I would have been like, give me the rent or, you know, get out of the house kind of thing. And, you know, he went 11 months adjusting the rent with me. And it was, again, when you're in alignment with your soul,
mm-hmm.
And I have a friend of mine who, you can tell there's a ripeness for her to start facing some fear she has. And she can list me 7 reasons, her mother, her kid, her health, why she's not making changes. And I look at that and I go, you know, once you start making the changes, the soul, oh, my phone is dying. The soul. Hello?
Are you there? Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
That's good.
The soul will make changes. I mean, if you had told me my father would become financially compassionate towards me, I would have told you not in this lifetime. And the truth is, he has, he is. And I get it. People can go, oh, yeah, that's what happens. You know, you get to towards the end of your life or blah, blah. And it's like, okay, you can tell me all that. But the truth is, I could not see that. I could not see that. So as long as I couldn't see it, it wasn't a part of my truth. And yet I still, you know, with grace and, you know, whatever, didn't have a job for 11 months. And so, but my experience was he did show up as a financially compassionate towards me. And it's like, these are the things you won't be able to see them, but when you're in the midst of that fire, that phoenix fire, taking you out to your ashes, reconstructing your DNA and all your experiences to get you in balance for the birthing, if your intention is to do this, life will support you because that's the nature of the intelligence behind it. It knows to support you because it wants. Look at it this way: does the body not support the baby? Because haven't there been? In fact, I know there have been. There have been cases where the mother is pregnant, the mother has AIDS, and the baby does not. Because for whatever the reason, the placenta, shit, the magic of the universe,
right.
The baby who is living off of the mother's everything does not contract the AIDS. That's how you know there's intelligence here beyond our comprehension, folks.
Yeah.
And that same intelligence will work for anyone who aligns with the intelligence. And the intelligence is organic. The intelligence is here to birth a new being. And it's just, you know, the only thing that's for us to do is to align with it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about your dad, because I was thinking that, you know, it's the field, it's the energy of obviously you and the times and the field and the deep feminine nature, and he's in, it's like right time, right place, but
absolutely,
it's beautiful that he is our sponsor and, you know, that works because he has shifted in his own being of being more compassionate. And look how he's helped us by being a sponsor. And once again, to me, it's not chicken or egg, it's chicken and egg. It's like, what happened first? I don't know. But
I
do see, because I've known you long enough, where this has been occurring. And, you know, I've even been part of the process where you said, wow, he's different, you know. And,
yeah.
And then here he is, you know, it's like Mother Earth and Father Fred. and I really like it, you know, because, it's just part of that unexplainable, but it's happening. And, you know, I can see it and
that's the thing, right? It's in this dimension. See, that is a very good point. Because, that's what I think is ripe, you know, R-I-P-E. What's so ripe right now is that in this dimension, the flip of energy is more prevalent than matter.
Mm-hmm.
When we trust that truth, it shows up in this dimension. And that's why you can bend the laws of physics. That's why
that lady didn't die.
Exactly. Or
was,
have brain damage.
She was dead for like 25 minutes. But, you know,
that's a significant time to not have oxygen.
No brain damage whatsoever. None.
Yeah.
Nothing. They predicted she would be so brain damaged that she would be terrible. And, you know, and then I was feeling like, oh, my God. And then she's fine. And, you know, then there's the realm of, you know, your compassionate dad financially and then supporting the Mystical Mother Earth show. And, you know,
by the way, 6 years prior said, don't you ever come to me for a dime for this cockamamie stupid idea. That was what he first said to me when I first got, I swear, don't you come to me for a dime. I mean, so, you know, it wasn't just, and then when he when he gave Janine and me the money, just so you know, he literally said to me, it's a father's pride to help his child with their passion. I mean, pick up your dog, Goldie, pick it. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, I agree,
Isn't
Dad.
Isn't that fantastic?
You know? Well, because it shows you truly the depth of what can change.
Yeah.
If you're willing to, you know, because it was so funny. I mean, out of all these years, this year was really the first year. Now, would we have gotten the money? Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I was not going to not do radio. I mean,
But
the money was going to come from somewhere.
Of course it was, but it was divine that it happened that way.
Exactly. And that's what makes the story even that much better, because it was the 180-degree turn from, you know, him saying that 6 years ago to taking such pride in being able to do this for us.
That's great.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it was the magic of 2012. I mean, you know, there is another space. It's like, wow. You know, really, wow.
Yeah, it's wow every day.
It's wow every day.
You know?
It really is. Yeah. And if you're not experiencing wow, I would invite you to look at what you're resisting.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you're resisting, just accept it. Because it hit me, another thing hit me today, I posted it, acceptance.
I saw that picture.
Oh, it's such a, yeah, and that picture really,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That little monkey was just so, and, you know, the bird was like the dove, but almost indifferent. Like, you know, all right, hang on. You know, I got you, babe. But acceptance is so pivotal in movement, and it's such a paradox, because acceptance, you know, the mind goes, acceptance means I'm allowing it to be, yes, but then how could I change it? Well, it's because the mind won't change it. Life, the river won't, you can't step in the same river twice. Become the river. The river is acceptance. That's the flow.
That's good.
You know, because that's one thing I'm clear in, that with all this time adjustment, you know, I don't say anymore, I wish I was, and then fill in the blank. I just, that's not a thought that occurs to me.
Oh, that's a good noticing.
Yeah, because, you know, my plate's pretty full with life itself in the moment right now. And that's not to say I'm not anticipating, you know, what this movie is going to birth into. But, I'm clear that I know I'll get there. I just am present getting there, and that is wonderful, because, you know, I'm not in fear.
It's good.
Yeah, it's real good.
It's real good.
It is. What an amazing show, Janine. I mean, really, me and Janine, we always talk after the show, but, you know, I just got to say it right now. Oh, my God, everybody. What an amazing show, because, you know, me and Janine were talking. I had serious cramps. I was nauseous before the show. I was exhausted, and, you know, I had a bit of a long day, but, you know, she was like, do you want to rally? And I was like, yeah, I do. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
The Mystical Monday, Magical Mondays. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but yeah, I do want to rally. And at this point, my body feels awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad we
not
rallied.
Nauseous. Oh, not at all. I've been drinking water. the clarity that both of us are sharing. You know, it's like, wow. You know, we really do take shit and make it fertilizer. I mean, we do.
It's great. No, it's great. Because it's, once again, you know, it's so unpredictable.
I know.
And I love that.
I know.
Because I could never have told you that, you know, we would go down this path of, like, you know, things falling into place based on a song that called to you.
I know.
Yeah, it's just great. Just great.
Yeah. You are just one magical partner, though. I'm telling you, you are one magic. You really are. Yeah, you're the puzzle piece. When I met you, it truly did. This picture finally formed for me. You know, I had pieces missing, and it was like, what the hell is that? You know, forget the borders, fill that part in.
This is what your soul said. Find me an interpreter.
That's exactly right. Janine, that is hitting it on the head.
And then Sarah said, hey, I have this girl. I have this woman that wrote the Magic Hat. You want to interview her?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know who truly, you know who was the networker for us?
Who?
Sarah.
Yeah. No,
Sarah found me. Yeah.
And I remember that and going, 2 hours. Okay. That's
a challenge. You said that. Yeah, no, because I was thinking of that tonight, going, we do 2 hours every Monday. Every time we're on the air, we do 2 hours.
I know, it's great because I think that's when, you know, the good stuff comes out because, you know, like nature, the rhythm is medium to slow, and nothing, you know, in that fast stuff, it's just kind of like really superficial, but it's 2 hours you can drop into another place because you're not watching the clock.
Exactly.
You know? And honestly,
right.
2 hours really does ask someone to be authentic because you can't fake 2 hours. I may be a thief, but I'm not a fake.
Yes, even Sally would be tired after 2 hours. No, you're absolutely right, though, because I've had, you know,
yeah.
I've had people say to me, can we just do an hour?
No.
And my answer now is I'm gonna put on a 2-hour show. Just go until the momentum stops. If it stops
right.
after an hour, well, stop
right.
if it keeps
right.
going. Because I get it. People are afraid. But, and, you know, it's funny. Are you afraid because what do you think you're going to run out of words?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it really is a testimony of how authentic we are, because if you're sharing honestly and transparently your life, you know, your present life,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a conversation, you don't think you can fill 2 hours? I mean, like, for real? You know, then...
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, oh, I get it. From a scripted point of view, 2 hours is a real pain in the ass. Definitely.
Right.
But not
if the river runs deep and the well, you know, is deep, then you shouldn't run out of water in 2 hours.
Not, in fact, it becomes even more illustrious and clarity and magical,
right.
you know,
right.
the more the time goes on. Because,
yeah.
as we prove, yeah. week after week after week.
And it's all on trust.
Trust in a few tums. Yes, no, it's indeed, because, you know, I won't say her name, even though I'm tempted to say her name. There was somebody from Spirit Library that I recently contacted, and she's going through some hard times, and she's sharing it. You know, she's integrating her shadow side, and she's sharing it, you know, on her website or whatever, and. You know, she got back to me and said that, you know, she would do a show. And it was so funny because her email response to me was really quite snippy. And I was like, okay, well, you know, she's going through her dark and stuff. And, you know, and I was like, this is the person who basically said, I'd like to just do an hour.
Okay.
And I wrote back that, you know, we'll sign it up for two and we'll go as far as, you know, as far as naturally.
Right, right.
And she never got back to me.
You know, really?
Yeah. And you know, I'm tempted not to say her name, but if you knew the name of her website, it's almost like when the woman in the chat room was going postal on us,
yeah,
when George was on, her name was Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
This channeler, and she does channel, which, you know, that part of the reason why I'm not pursuing this is because you know how I feel about that. But she talks about her shadow side, and you know how I feel about that. But this woman's name, I'm just going to say it, fuck it. Expect Wonderful. That's the name of her website.
Oh. and that only occurs in the second hour. I mean, see, that's the thing, like, you know, that's where humor comes in, because that is like, you know, the trickster shaman or the you know, it's like, oh no, I guarantee you all the good stuff shows up in the second hour. You know, it's like,
well, and that's actually what I learned. Remember when I used to do an hour show when I was doing terrestrial radio, and I used to go, right as we'd come to the top of the hour is when the momentum just got juicy. And I'd
right,
be like,
right.
I saw that, and I was like, and then when Blog Talk Radio initially came out, even though it would pay now, it used to be free. But when it was free, I immediately went, give me 2 hours. Shit, it's free, first of all. But
that's
second
good.
Of all is, the it really is, especially if you don't know somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you'll the momentum will show up because.
Well, guess what? See, that right there, what you just said, is an invitation to intimacy. And I think that is intimidating, because what is there to be afraid of, really? What? I mean, when you hit the heart of things, or when, you know, to be intimate with someone, what's, you know, that. That would be a challenge for someone, but it would be a welcome challenge. You know,
right.
Like that, you could, like, even for me, I remember the first time going, wow, that is really, like, you know, I wanted to challenge myself with 2 hours. And then once you do it, you're like, wow, that was really fun. And it's actually, you know, you get to know more of yourself, because there you are in an exchange with someone for 2 hours, and it's really good practice. It really is.
It is good. And I remember you saying that you got to divulge more about the magic gown, the dress itself, and the experience, because you had the time in the interview to do it.
And I got to tell the full story, as opposed to this, like, yeah, and then you could feel that you're on this time clock, and that, you know,
right.
You're, and it's like, really, is that a good interview? Okay, well, I realize everybody can't do a two-hour interview, but when you can do it, it's kind of fun, because then you get to tell the story, you know, and
the story's
got all the good stuff in it, you know, it's the real medicine, so, you know. So that, and you know, and it's a great practice in intimacy and authenticity. And so, you know, I just think that it's a funny answer would be, well, we could do an hour, but really all the good stuff shows up in the second hour, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as soon as I saw that after the first snippy email, you know, I was like,
yeah,
all right, babe, I ain't begging you on this. You know, listen, I wanted to give you a platform to share, you know, your experiences, because you speak of the shadow side. But what's obvious to me is there's still shame around her, because she doesn't want to speak about it.
Mm.
You know, maybe not shame. Maybe that's too harsh. Resistance. Oh, hell,
yeah.
It's shame. Stop trying to be, you know, expect wonderful. Well, then own it and let it be okay. It's
right.
You know, it's okay to be. I was telling a girlfriend of mine who's entering a relationship with, quote unquote, a man who's married, who basically is complicated. And she's always done the good girl, always. And I told her, you know what? It's time to get dirty, babe. And I go, and that doesn't mean, you know, that he's going to leave her, or that doesn't mean you're going to end up walking down the aisle. But, I mean, this guy really is, she's very attracted to him. She's very attracted to this whole energy. I said, so follow that. Don't let the morals, don't let the rules tell you how to play this relationship. Just let your spirit follow what excites you.
Hmm.
Because, it, you know, I'm telling you, I am guiding everyone to be deviant.
To be what?
To be deviant. You know, get dirty, break the rules, stop being conformist.
Yeah.
Because it, yeah. I just know that's what the that's what it's calling for. That's what the energy is calling for right now. And that's why these opportunities are arising for people. So, you know, again, don't look at it as the destination is, you know, that you're going to fall in love and have more children with this guy or whatever, even though that could happen, of course. But just look at it that you're going to live vicariously, you know, in the present moment feeling, you know, just amazing. Because you are. That's what's available. So fly with it. Don't let the good girl tell you, no, I can't play with this because he's married or it's complicated.
Right.
No, that's incorrect. Get in the director's chair. Play. Play. You're not going to go to hell for that. I promise you.
Right. That's that program.
That's that program. That's exactly right.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, everybody in the chat room can no longer hear us right now.
Oh.
I know.
All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, we might as well wrap it up.
Okay.
I mean, if you're cool with that, are you cool with that?
I'm definitely cool with that.
Okay.
Yeah,
then,
no, I'm good.
Then where can our beloved audience find you?
All right. Well, my main website is my name. It's jlkimmel.com, jlkimmel.com. And I have another website, springtreepress.com. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and if you can't find me, go to Goldie's and then look for me there, Janine L. Kimmel.
Right.
So thank you, Goldie.
Thank
How about you?
You? Anotherrealityshow.com. And just so you know, coming up very soon, Janine and I are going to do a My Psychic Moon reading show.
Yeah.
We'll post that, but it, you know, same call-in number, 646-929-2084. We're going to do some soulful readings and have a real good time just meeting with random people, sharing experiences and sharing soulful information. Definitely invite you guys to check it out because I find that I've done two of those so far, and they're profound. They are profound shows where you can see the patterns, or no, let me put it this way. You can see the intelligence in the randomness.
Mm.
It's very apparent.
And I think that's exactly right, because that's what I see in our show.
Exactly.
There's like this, there's this unpredictable intelligence that occurs that I love. That's what I love.
Me too.
And just on, it's so funny that you mentioned the reading show coming up, because we ran out of time, and we'll take this up when we do the show, but when I was in the park where I love to go and jog or walk or whatever I do, I heard stirring right next to me, and it was a big, wild female turkey. So in that next in the next show that we do together, when you do the readings and I'll be part of it, I want you to tell me what that means.
Okay.
All right?
Definitely. Well, just so you know, too, I will tell you that I'll tell you what the turkey means even before then. But
okay,
because I'm not going to use the cards.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
I've graduated because I really don't use cards. We're just going to have intimate conversations and connect people with their soul. And believe it, you're going to be very much a part of the intimate conversation. You know, you're going to share your instincts and because it. It's unbelievable how people who are on a first name basis with their soul,
mm-hmm.
it can be felt by the person desiring that, but who might not yet be there. That the wisdom that we can share can be game changer. It can take them from the actor to the director's chair.
And I have a feeling that wild turkey is part of this.
Well, what's so funny, too, is just the other day, of course, I might have told you, I saw a wild turkey as well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I actually slowed my car down and said, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. In fact, I've seen two. The wild turkey has been showing up for me lately. So,
me too. I was right next to me, and I was talking to her. And it was just fun, and I'm sure I know the turkey is is sort of the giver.
Yeah, the offering.
So,
yes,
you know.
And abundance as well.
Yeah.
That's what the Native Americans were symbolizing when they gave it to the pilgrims.
Yeah, so, I'm sure the call, the soul connecting call will be the empathic, you know, connection.
Oh,
to
yeah.
The call.
Tag teaming doing this with you, Janine. Is generally, I have a feeling we'll be doing it once a month.
Okay.
Or whatever. You know, if you have as much fun as I think you'll have, we'll do it again.
Right.
So,
okay, well,
yeah.
So it's been said.
Exactly. It's been amplified.
I love you.
Yes. I love everybody. We will talk to everybody. Oh, Thursday night, Jennifer Adele, this would be the night maybe to do the turkey. Thursday night,
okay.
Jennifer Adele is doing animal totem readings.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so we can do that Thursday if you want. I just thought
okay.
that.
Okay. I'll listen.
Yeah.
All right.
You always do. All right, I will talk to everybody soon. Have an amazing night. And actually, you know what? I'm going to play the song "And When I Die" as a closing because
right.
it's great. Yeah, I can hear the song several times. So everybody have an amazing night, and we'll talk to everybody soon. All right.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Just let me go naturally. And when I die, and when I'm dead, dead and gone, there'll be one child born in a world to carry on, to carry on, yeah, yeah.